The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you find injustices in the policies of corporations and governments, yet feel powerless to do anything about them? Join us today for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton. Our program will be empowering, not only uncovering conspiracies, but actually offering solutions to these plots. There will be no holy cows, and no subject is off the table. Now, here is Dr. Robert Newton.
Hey, namaste. And let's get ready to rumble. All right. Well, I've taken a few punches during the last week. My wife passed on, and I knew it was coming, but you can never be prepared enough for that. So anyway, I'm good. She's good. And I'm most grateful that I just received, not even 15 minutes ago, the copies of my third book by Page Publishing, which just came out, The Hidden Codes of God. So let me give you a little synopsis of that. It's basically a journey to the unknown secrets and dimensions of the divine and the energy of love. So from an early age, James had questions that could not be answered by his parents, teachers, or preachers. Nice rhyme there. His intense thirst to know more about life's complicated questions not only causes frictions within his family and his teachers, but also casts James as a social outcast until he is introduced to the science of Christianity. In his high school years, James begins to uncover answers, lifelong questions that previously eluded him within the science of Christianity. James' relentless pursuit to understanding the complexities of life leads him to an esoteric and erotic eye-opening journey in which he discovers the hidden codes of God. James encounters society's unwillingness to listen and accept what he has learned about the energy of love and the multidimensional universe wherein it exists. This causes many failed relationships where lasting romance eludes him until he reconnects with his former soulmate, who not only understands and accepts what he has discovered, but someone who desires to accompany him in his quest of the hidden codes. As an adult, James operates an award-winning landscape business where his inspiration completely is drawn from his continual enlightenment. Ultimately, James comes to the conclusion that regardless of how they may be received, the codes that have been revealed to him must be shared, and thus led to writing his magnus opus. So that's the hidden code of God, the hidden codes of God, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. It actually helped me as I was writing it. It helped put things in perspective. So last night I found out with very short notice that Orion Moya was not going to be able to make the interview today. And so what we're going to discuss is actually, I'm not going to go too much into the Sumerian stuff, but I want to say a little bit about it because it seems to be what we've been covering, a lot of people like, and then a lot of people don't like, because it's stomping on their cherished beliefs. All I can tell you is this: many people, this information of the Sumerian tablets was basically comes to us in about 12 books by Zachariah Sitchin, including When Time Began and The 12th Planet, among 8 or 10 other books that he wrote. And many people have claimed that Sitchin didn't understand how to translate this, that Sitchin's timelines were incorrect. Actually, the people that are criticizing what Sitchin said and what the Sumerian tablets say, their timelines aren't correct. I don't say that to be mean. I don't say that to be arrogant. I say that factually because there are certain architectural markers that have happened in the history of civilization, like watermarks on pyramids in Egypt that go back 12,000 years, that start to lend way more credence to Zachariah Sitchin's timeline as opposed to the people that are strict biblical people or strict Torah people and who have said that the Sumerian tablets have no place at all within the Bible. And in fact, literally, whether you like it or not, and I'm sure there would have been a time in my life that this would have upset me to a degree also when I was a strict Christian Scientist, that in fact, they do completely fit. And they do add much more sense to it. Okay, let me add some other things too. You know, I think the problem with the Christian and reluctance or revulsion of what's being told is that they feel that their knowledge is and their work in the Torah and in the Bible and in the Old Testament and in the New Testament is something that's special and above everything else. Now, let's look at that for a minute. Are you trying to tell me that our Creator, who is a most magnificent Creator, and when you go down and look at things at the atomic level like I have, and like the quantum physicists and the quantum mechanics people have done, scientists have done, you start to see how magnificent it is. Are you then going to contend that the belief of maybe a million people supersedes or is superior to that of the 5 or 6 billion, the beliefs of 1 billion people are superior to the beliefs of 5 billion other people on this planet? Really, that's kind of an insult to the Creator in and of itself, to saying that the Creator would leave those other 5 billion people in the dark with no redemption, no heaven, no this, no that, no the other. It just really doesn't make sense. When you really start looking at things, if you want to see the divisions within things, by God, you'll find the divisions of things, and you'll see that maybe your belief is superior to others. But when you start doing what I've done and what Orion has done and what Sarah Ghazala has done, and hopefully she'll be in later into the show, when you really see and you really look for the commonality between these things, they in fact exist. And the more you look for the way things fit together, and this is kind of called the concept of non-duality, and FYI, quantum mechanics proves literally that everything is related to the other, and there isn't this division between things that people have artificially created. You start to see that non-duality and commonality are the themes of the universe. Were this not true, think about it. Atoms would not be able to coagulate or coalesce into molecules that create bigger things, such as other objects and like also ourselves, and also the planets, the solar systems, the galaxies, and the cosmos. The whole universe. So this is really an important concept. This is what this show is about. It's not about like, well, you know, I'm superior to you. I'm better to you. My God is better than yours. My belief is better than yours. I basically embrace pretty much everything. And the reason, and in the beginning, I had to force myself to do it. I was kind of being, there was kind of like an impetus that was like pushing me, that was like prodding me to do it. I was kind of resisting, but I got to a certain point. When I actually wrote a map to healing Well, even when I wrote Pathways to God, Experiencing the Living God in Your Everyday Life in 1991, I started seeing that there was this common ground to everything, and that there was ways to actually experience and feel the energies of God through pyramids, magnets, crystals, deep meditation techniques. And all of those things are talked about in that book. It's a good resource book, and not only for the average person, but especially for like energy healers and crystal healers and Reiki healers, people like that. But by the time I wrote A Map to Healing in 2011, which really started out just to be a book about theta healing and wound up becoming a much grander treatise than that, because it just kind of morphed into that. There was no outline for the book, so it literally kind of just stated as the ideas came to me, and then I wrote them down. And the more that I wrote it down, the more I was getting more things to validate some of these radical concepts that were coming in about this non-duality and all of this, about everything being interrelated. So just realize, if you find my ideas radical, yeah, they probably are. But unfortunately, whether you like it or not, they are quite scientifically correct. And basically, if your ideas cannot stand up to science, then your ideas really do not, then they're just belief and there's no substantiation for them. In other words, if there's no proof. So I would rather have proof for what I believe than just blind belief. And as was said in the book of Thomas, which was excluded from the New Testament and quite a major omission, belief without understanding is of no value. Okay, and that's literally true. So I want to go into today's show, since Orion, well, yeah, I just want to say a little bit more about the Sumerian stuff. This is really interesting. I guess I should go into this, because from a most unlikely source, I was actually sent some information on some Sumerian tablets that were actually looted during the war in Iraq in 2006. And there was like actually an NSA op to decode what was in the tablets, but there was also some other things going on with this. And basically what these tablets were engraved, not exactly engraved, it was even more high tech. It's a technology that we apparently don't even have, but they were put in these big pieces of lapis lazuli. And I know a lot about lapis lazuli because I've done a lot of lapidary work with it. And one thing I can tell you is that big pieces are easy to fracture. So the fact that they even found a piece that was big enough to even do this was magnificent in and of itself. But that's actually insignificant compared to the technology that was used to actually kind of emboss, in a sense, engrave this cuneiform language of the Sumerian tablets into them. That's quite magnificent in and of itself. So, but what's even more magnificent is that the gaps that they fill in our history and everything. So another thing that was brought out in this article, and this is actually an anonymous article because the guy that was involved with this really wasn't supposed to be spilling the beans on this. The copper box these came in had a glowing quality to it, and energy emanated from it. So myself, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, well, what would this relate to? Could this relate to the Ark of the Covenant? And I'm thinking it did. And here's why. I'm going to tell you why I'm most sure that it does. And it's, I was reading not so long ago that the reason the Pharaoh was so upset when Moses left is not that Moses, in fact, left and took the people with the Israelites with him, but that he took the Ark of the Covenant, which was as they explain, basically a zero-point energy device or an energy generator, not needing an external source or external power to run it. I think that's what we have a mini example of with this copper box that these lapis lazuli cuneiform Sumerian language tablets were found. And that also would be an indicator of the validity of the Sumerian timeline, that it might have even predated. In other words, or at least concurrent with Egyptian technology, which would go back vastly longer than what is related in Egyptology today, probably more like 20,000 years. Because, like as I said previously, there's a pyramid that has a water line on it, quite a distance up. This would correspond with the great flood of about 12 or 13,000 years ago, that actually is described in the earlier chapters of the Torah and of the Old Testament. So this is kind of exciting to me that this thing has showed up, because little by little, it's like we don't get the whole picture all at once. You really have to be patient and allow the pieces of evidence to fall together. And so if something comes out and that it conflicts with your beliefs, rather than just summarily dismissing it and saying, no, this just isn't true, this goes against what I know, keep the mind open. Just file that information away, and pretty soon maybe another piece of evidence will come along and will show you, will make a bigger picture, will explain more things which heretofore were obscure. Okay, so that was really exciting for me, and I wanted to I'm trying to remember who to thank. I'm seeing his face right now. I will come up with it later. So now I'm going to, since Orion isn't here, and we were actually going to go deeper into the Sumerian stuff because he wanted to relate a lot of stories to you, and I'm sure eventually we'll get to that, but I'm not exactly sure when. I'm going to go back. If your hair is standing on end from the Sumerian tablets, then hold on to it, because it's going to really be on end what I'm going to go into now. This is basically some research that I did for my novel Arboriforia, which is almost done. And basically the premise of this novel was and is that if we stay within the laws of nature and natural law, and we stay and we follow the templates that have been displayed to us in nature, well, then everything will be fine here, and in fact, everyone will be prosperous, everyone will be healthy, and there will be no need for significant, if any, governmental structures, and then there'll even be no need for hospitals. And I'll explain why. Let me get into relating a lot of this book that I'm really excited about. And probably, I don't know if I'll go into the hidden codes of God. Yeah, I'll go into some of the hidden codes of God next week. But basically, the earth is a lot older than what you've been taught, and the universe is a lot older. In The True History and Religion of India by Swami Saraswati, by tracing back the cycles of yugas, just like Orion was tracing back the signs of the zodiac, the 2160-year cycles of each zodiacal sign, that we were able to trace the Sumerian cultures back about 300,000 years or more. Through going through these yugas, or yugas, or these long time cycles that are in the in the Indian Vedas and the Upanishads, you can literally take the beginning of the earth back about 151 billion years, as opposed to what the 4 to 7 billion year timeline we're being given by cosmologists and astrophysicists right now. So when this Earth was first started, I did remote viewing to get this information, because not too much of it is in books. Some of it is in the works by C.W. Leadbeater and Annie Besant and Madame Blavatsky, who were theosophists, and also Rudolf Steiner, who was a brilliant man in multiple ways likewise. But basically what I saw when I was going back into my journeys back into time, and this is, by the way, only the timelines I went on to. There's multiple timelines for everything. So there's actually multiple histories for everything that happened. I know that's a little bit to digest all at once, but if you just kind of let it ruminate or kind of sit in your stomach and just leave it there for a while, eventually, hopefully you'll be able to create the circuits within your brain that will allow these kind of things to be assimilated and make a lot more sense than they actually do right now, possibly. But when the Earth was first created many billions of years ago, there was a much higher oxygen content. Well, first the Earth was all covered with water, and then the continents formed. After the continents formed is when so that basically left things with sea life. After the continents were formed, all kinds of cool trees and an incredible environment for growing things existed, because for one thing, the sun was hotter. And contrary to the belief of the climatologists today, actually, these hotter temperatures actually make things grow better. I mean, they need to adapt to it. That's true, if they weren't in that situation. But plants have the ability to do that. People seem to be more resistant to adaptation than plants. In fact, not only seem to, actually are. So again, we can learn from plants and trees immense lessons and ways to be more within the divine template of how everything really is. And so there was this greater warmth, and this greater warmth and this greater radiation of the sun also brought more prana into the earth. Also, there was considerably more rain. And just by the way, this rain happens to contain hydrogen peroxide, which, by the way, happens to have oxygen, which, by the way, is a carrier of prana and a stimulator of growth, not only in trees and plants, but in us human beings. So you had this great growing environment where things just grew prolifically and everything. And also there were no humans in the mix to screw things up. So as per the True History and Religion of India by Swami Saraswati, who trace actually the origins of India and Tibet back 1.9 billion years, people came here to India from the planet Sirius, and possibly from Sirius B, and also came from other planets likewise. But basically that one planet right there. When the people came here, these were already a highly evolved culture. Sirius B has for billions, plural, of years been a planet of evolution, vastly beyond anything happening here, basically living in a fourth or a fifth dimensional type world where things are less dense and things are more energy related. And anyway, at their essence, everything is only energy, all forms, including us. When the atoms are moving slower within our bodies and within objects on the earth, then they are more solid appearing. But in experiences like in samadhi and like in a kundalini awakening, where you start seeing things more in their energy form, and where things that were formerly you thought were solid are mutable, they're moving, they're not quite so solid as you thought they were, because you're in the fourth and the fifth dimension, then you start seeing really the higher aspects of creation. And by the way, this is actually, at the very worst, the Earth will be a fourth dimensional operating system. And for some of us, it's been that way for quite a while. And so this is actually to be looked forward to. This is actually something to like, to be looked forward to, because everything becomes better in these higher dimensions. It's just immensely better, including health, wealth, happiness, all of these things. It's just, this is where you're getting into deep alpha and into theta brain waves. And when this is what happened, this is when you're operating like in a system of connection within the creator, a level of divinity that is so much easier and so much more enjoyable to be in than what we've been in into this the limitations of a third dimension. And also makes things being materialized out of the ethers much easier, like Satchi Sai Baba did often before he went into another dimension when he was in southern India. So when these people came here, they already were in concert in India. They were already in concert and in synchronous with the cycles of nature, because this is what they came from on Sirius, and this is what they knew also, and they had this great spiritual development. So this is probably why there's no place on the planet that has more deep spiritual traditions than India. I mean, it's mind-blowingly deep. It's hard to even comprehend all of it, simply because a lot of the stuff hasn't even been translated yet. My guru, Yogi Govindan Satchitananda, that taught me Kriya Kundalini Pranayam, who also can be reached at babajiskriyayoga.net, he's having 10,000-year-old palm leaf manuscripts translated right now because they're disintegrating, and they want to get this stuff into like in book and into computer form so that these records can be saved. So here's just a timeline right there. So the great thing about India is that it's been on this unbroken line. The civilization has been on 1.9 billion years on an unbroken line. So it was never completely covered by the Great Flood. Sure, the lower areas were in southern India and eastern India, but up in the Punjab area, that the things were never completely covered. And looks like we're ready for break, so let's go to break. I have a whole bunch more to come into, a whole bunch more fun things to go to. Okay, all right, we'll be back in a minute or two.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Through Dr. Newton's books and classes described at drrobertnewton.com, the following things can occur in your life: increased prosperity and abundance, a state of happiness, humor and tranquility, which makes life a joy to live, increased energy fields downloaded into the body, increasing your overall vigor, increased creativity, putting no task beyond your ability to complete it, increased intelligence, knowledge and wisdom, the awakening and or increasing of psychic abilities, increased sexual intensity, pleasure, energy and bliss, the opening of the heart chakra, allowing you to give and receive love in great quantities, as well as conceiving and manifesting your goals and desires in an accelerated and certain fashion. These things and more can be augmented by using the Scientific Miracle Health product, ASEA. ASEA is a stabilized redux product that completely rejuvenates the body and brain and transports the brain-mind to theta trance and divine consciousness, as do the techniques revealed in Dr. Newton's classes, wherein miracles routinely occur. For more information, visit drrobertnewton.com.
Do the adventures of Indiana Jones leave you curious about this exotic and unusual profession? If so, don't miss Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology with Dr. Joseph Schuldenrein. You'll learn about forensics, ancient civilizations, and human origins. Listen to Dr. Schuldenrein and colleagues discuss their excavations and related archaeological topics, ranging from the unique to the sublime, and yes, even the mundane. Indiana Jones, Myth, Reality, and 21st Century Archaeology, live Wednesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions with Dr. Robert Newton. Contact the program today at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Or send us an email to theta4ia@yahoo.com. Now, back to Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions.
So let's see if I can get moving along here so that we can get Sarah in with some Nubian Egyptian knowledge that her mother has that she wanted to share. But before I do that, wanted to just mention that I'm going to be at the Alchemy event this weekend, 15th and 16th at LAX Radisson in Los Angeles. I'm going to be doing one lecture on deep meditation techniques to enhance your psychic abilities, including remote viewing and bilocation and all kinds of cool things like that. I'm going to be doing two workshops on immortalizing the human body, and I'm not just talking about theoretical stuff, but actual steps that allow this to occur. And we're actually in the most auspicious time frame that this could happen in about the last 13,000 years, so might as well take advantage of it. Personally, myself, I'm tired of getting to a point where it takes me 50 years to get even quasi-enlightened, and then I'm staring death in the face. So I've decided that and I talk about this in the Hidden Codes of God, I talk about it in A Map to Healing. Basically, I'm tired of reincarnating through the vagina, and I love vaginas, but I'm tired of that process, having quasi-enlightened teachers, or having basically not even quasi-enlightened teachers, parents, ecclesiastical and religious authorities and things like that. So to me, it makes sense. And I basically have the scientific and the esoteric knowledge to back up the abilities to do this. Also, I'm going to be on a panel discussion there, so that should be real interesting. So there's also a live feed for that. You can get both days for $50. So if that seems like a lot of money, get a few friends together, get five friends together, and break it down to $5 or $10 so that it's not that much. Be well worth your while, because Sean David Morton's going to be there. Roger Lear's going to be there. Laura Eisenhower, granddaughter of Dwight D. Eisenhower, is going to be there. I'm not sure. I think some Thrive people might be there too, possibly Foster Gamble. I'm not sure. Dr. Thomas Merrick is going to be there, and he's going to talk about alternative therapies for cancer, and he and I will probably have a lot of discussions, because that's one thing I've been involved with for a long, long time, like over 20 years. And just going to be a lot of really top flight people there. I could go on and on, but I want to get to the show. All that information's on my Facebook page, Robert Newton 3, so you can pull it off of there, and it's all over basic forums on Facebook. So just wanted to talk a little bit more about the Hidden Codes of God. I'm actually going to have copies there, so you can actually be some of the first people to get that. I just really feel that this book is going to really make a big difference, and it's going to help a lot of people, like, because I put a lot of deep knowledge into it, but and scientific and esoteric knowledge, but I've also put it in such a way that it's enjoyable to digest. So I think that's maybe the key. And just the cover alone is almost worth the price of the book. It has all kinds of codes and things in it. So, basically, I'm going to get back to India right now. And basically, so these people live so much in harmony with nature that they didn't need hospitals. They didn't get sick. They did lots of meditation. They did lots of Kriya Kundalini Pranayama, which led to samadhi. And eventually, they would get to a state of samadhi where they could reach immortality, where they completely suspended the breathing and breath or the need for food, for sustenance in the body. So basically they were nutrifying their body with prana, which is related to the sun, electromagnetic energy, aspects of nuclear energy are actually involved with that too. And so as long as they were in this state, everything worked out fine. Then there was, And this actually existed for a long period of time. Then there was a civilization called Lemuria, which is basically in the area of the Pacific Ocean. And I believe it basically ran about from Hawaii clear down to Tahiti, the lower parts of Polynesia. But after the Great Flood, that got changed quite a bit. And so you only have a few of the higher areas that are still sticking up right now, like in Tahiti and the islands in Hawaii and a couple little islands like Guam and a couple areas in between right there. And these people were really well connected to the earth, maybe not technologically advanced, but basically they live so tight and so in conjunction with nature that they were basically literally a part of it. And so much so that their telepathic abilities were off the chart. Language wasn't a highly necessary function with them, since everyone communicated with thoughts and everything. And then on such a level that even they could communicate with the dolphins, and the dolphins would actually lead them to where more abundant stocks of fish existed that they could catch. So this is like a really cool thing. So when Lemuria started being inundated or sinking, actually it was a subduction fault, not a flood, that actually caused it to go down, and a lot of it fell down. Then many of the people went to Atlantis. Okay, so in Atlantis everything was great, except they didn't have the great growing environment that they had there in Lemuria. So they had to use more of their creativity to get their crops to grow. And they did. They used things like humic acids and gibberellic acid and hydrogen peroxide and different things like that to organic farming methods to create an ability to be able to grow crops at an expanded rate beyond what would be considered normal today. Okay, but what happened with the Atlanteans is they got pulled into a bunch of technology. They got pulled away from nature, and this was their undoing big time, because they started messing around with things like what we have today with our scalar energy antenna complexes that we have up in Alaska right there. And they actually had something very similar to right now. They actually had started having this global warming, and then as opposed to realizing it was a good thing, they did exactly what's happening here right now. They sprayed aerosols into the air. Well, this didn't lead to anything really good. It didn't stop the warming, but it did make many people sick through the toxic substances that were in these aerosols that are literally being sprayed on us right now. So this led to them trying to some more drastic things. They started using this the HARP antenna complex that they also had, and they started messing with things, and they started and what they actually did is they precipitated a huge earthquake and volcanic eruption that started causing the planet to subduct right there too. So what? And this was like when this happened, when the people left Lemuria for Atlantis, it was like about 50,000 years ago or something like that. But they were also they also had the Sumerian influences that Orion was going to eventually share with us also. So, or the Anunnaki, which was Sumerian based. So they had to find a new place to live pronto. So here's what happened, because the continent was sinking, and at a quick rate. So many of the people went to Egypt, and then many of the people went to Central America. And I can say we're not even going to get close to where I wanted to get to, but it is what it is. So now we're coming into these people going to. These Atlanteans going to Egypt. There were other cultures going there too, though. The Sumerians were also going there, or possibly were even already there. And so what happened was that these people took what you had a fusion of a lot of good knowledge. And again, you had a people that were basically, they understood the cycles of nature, but they seemed to be able to not be overwhelmed by their technology, because it's self-evident that they created many wondrous things there, including the Great Pyramids, the three pyramids aligned astrologically, astronomically in Egypt, aligned toward the North Star, which was aligned to their home. And also the people that lived there, their star home, their home in the heavens. And so what you basically had there is you had people using a hieroglyphic language, as opposed into Sumeria, they were using a cuneiform language. But they were both, you know, they were both more highly evolved languages than, say, English, which is kind of an amalgamation of many languages kind of mishmashed together. So within the pyramid, right, and also was, as I relate this to Egypt, that this also relates to Atlantis, that they also had pyramids there. They also had zero point energy, which a pyramid can be used as an attractor of electricity, prana, and it appears that not only that it was used that way in Atlantis, but it was used that way in Egypt, and very similar to what Nikola Tesla did at Wiedenclyffe Tower. So what you have here is a very high technology. So I want to say right off the bat, this is something that irritates me every time, the ignorance involved with it. The pyramids were not used as a burial chambers. There are burial chamber small pyramids behind the bigger pyramids right there in Giza. I've been inside of them. And so these, in fact, would have been burial chambers, because they wouldn't have been highly valuable for anything else. I mean, they would have value for the energy that they attract and that they focus in from out of the atmosphere, the electromagnetic energy that's then the strong nuclear force that's actually attracted. So I think we may be getting Sarah soon, so that's good. But anyway, you basically have these canals in Giza underground with water in them. No one can understand why they were there. But when you realize that this is one of the methods that Tesla used to transport the energy from Wiedenclyffe Tower, you realize that this could have been very well been an easy way to distribute electrical energy all through the Giza Plateau into Cairo, whatever, however far that it went at that particular time. Also, you had other things going on there in Egypt. You had at the Temple of Saqqara, you had an acoustical healing wall where you had seven notes of the scale. And if you put your head at, these cubicles, that's all, this one wall is all that's left of this Temple of Saqqara. And if you put your head into these, other than the columns, the magnificent granite columns from that held up the temples. If you put your head into these cubicles, right, there you can hear a different note of the seven different notes of the diatonic scale in each one of those seven cubicles. And so, and when you think about something like this, what would it be used for? You would think that it could be used to attune the consciousness of a person, to put person in alpha or theta consciousness in a wave of meditation. But it also could have healing aspects to it, the phononic properties, the vibrations and things that are coming out of there. Obviously, this was really high type of technology, maybe a way to smooth emotions, because at its essence, all disease and all sickness comes out of skewered emotions and thoughts. So it, just like the mantras that I teach, the Gayatri mantra and the Mitranjaya mantra, both of these things have soothing properties through the Sanskrit intonations of the syllables that are involved right there. And so likewise, you know, sound can basically have the same properties of that. And then also you had the temple of the Temple of Saqqara. So also you had the Temple of Luxor, which was this most magnificent depiction of the human body and all the chakras and all the organs and everything's contained therein. And if you want a text on that, it's well explained in Schwaller de Lubitz's work. I think it's called The Temple of Luxor. And also Lucy Lammy did a lot of subsequent work to what Schwaller de Lubitz did also. So those are our representations of things that are going on there. So the knowledge of these people was vastly beyond what we have today. Now we're going to have that knowledge. We're uncovering it. Actually, we're getting a lot of this knowledge back. So there's not only the ability to heal things through the phonons and sonic vibration, but also through color or photons, such as what's contained in Denzba's work and some stuff I'm seeing on LinkedIn that's related to that. I'll try and put the link to that stuff that I found on LinkedIn with the color light therapy. I'll try and remember to put that up on the Facebook page for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions. Okay, so you know, and that's it. So these pyramids played a really important thing, and not just coincidentally. There's actually a more actually incredible pyramid complex in New Cydonia that's been shown rather prolifically in Richard Hoagland's book, The Monuments of Mars, where he took computer resolution and defined the Viking, I think it's the Viking 12 photos that are the Viking 9 photos that were taken by the many that were taken by NASA that they call mirror anomalies. Therein you see not only four-sided pyramids like you have in Luxor, but in Giza and the rest of Egypt, but you have three and five-sided pyramids too, and an amount innumerably more than what you have in Giza right there. So, and you also at New Cydonia you have a sphinx figure laying down on the ground. Oh, also another thing I guess I should bring up too, because recently they've been finding more pyramids. They actually found a pyramid in Romania in 2002 and quite a big one too that was buried under forest. And once they started stripping away, they found the structure. And when they got inside, lo and behold, they found something that I believe is very similar to what I experienced in the sarcophagus in the Great Pyramid in Egypt. They found what they call a thought projection chamber. Okay, so when I was in that, actually meditating inside of that sarcophagus, and by the way, I didn't feel any dead spirits or departed spirits inside of there in any way, shape, or form. Actually, I was able to use my thoughts to project out of my body and to project into a whole nother star system and everything. And I did this without almost no effort at all. I hardly knew what I was doing, but somehow I must have known just enough to be able to do it. In retrospect, I understood what was going on, but when it was happening, it was a pretty trippy experience because I had no expectation of happening, and I really had no one to really explain it to me, so I had to do a lot of research on that. So when, you know, Egypt went along really well, and it really went before the pharaonic dynasties. That went way back before that. That was just one episode of what happened right there. Way before that, Thoth, who was, I think Orion pronounced it Thoth, was not only there, he was with the Sumerians as another name that Orion gave us last week when we were talking about that. I'm trying to bring that up right now. But this Thoth personage was also an Atlantis helping the people right there. So Orion believes that his origin is Sumerian. I've traced some of his origin to Sirius B and to the many outer planets in our galaxy. So, irrespective of that, this was like a highly evolved person that was there to actually that was actually there to help the people. He had elevated knowledge, esoteric knowledge, but also knowledge of construction. And so his knowledge would have been vital in the construction of the pyramids, which are basically based on two things from engineering and esoteric sciences: pi 1.5, 1.1617, which is called the golden mean, and then pi, which is 3.1417, but never actually comes to a complete clean end, and apparently for a reason, which eventually we'll understand. Maybe that involves the concept of infinity or something like that. So this Thoth was really, really, really an integral being on this planet. He also wound up, when Egypt started going into declination and deterioration, because basically it seems to happen that people start out with these magnificent societies, they stay, as long as they stay attached to nature and the concepts of natural law, the concepts of sharing, which obviate hoarding and the concepts of being relaxed and in consonance with the divine energies, wherein people don't get sick because their emotions are balanced and they're doing lots of meditation and they're naturally attuned to these frequencies of natures, which is also the Schumann resonance, which is 7.83 hertz, which is also a level of divinity, a low alpha wave or sometimes an upper theta wave, because there's like a bleed through between them. There's not this exact hard delineation between the two. When you stay in these waves, then everything is really good. When you start going and becoming a prisoner of your technology, such as kind of what's happening to us right here, right now, but it's basically even happening in India right now. It happened in Egypt back then. It happened in Greece. It happened in Rome. Whenever this happens, then we basically get into these situations where we get pulled away. So I just have very little time left. Just want to say that also that Hermes and Thoth also wound up in Egypt as Enoch and then in Central America as Quetzalcoatl, and also other personages in Peru. So thanks for tuning in today. This was an interesting solo journey, and I'm not sure what we're going to have next week. I think I'm going to have someone that just sent me an interesting book that shows many personages like Jesus, including Osiris and Attis of Pythagia, as other exalted sons of God. And we can talk about Ram and we can talk about Krishna, and I should have talked about that today. But the show is over. Thanks for listening, and I will be sure to serve up something interesting for you next week. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us for Real Conspiracies with Scientific and Spiritual Solutions. Please join Dr. Robert Newton next Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.